When I was growing up, I felt like every other weekend I was in a funeral home. So I had so many family members who were way older than me passing away. I kind of loved it as a kid because there was a lot of all the cousins were around all the time. I got to see my aunts and uncles, and I don't think I quite understood it. And then I finally kind of reached the age of reason. I was 7 or 8 years old. And we spent a lot of time with my grandmother as she was dying. And I was in the room when she took her last breath, which was really a privileged moment to be there as my grandmother, whom I love dearly, departed from this world. And we got to say all of our goodbyes, and it was really, really beautiful. But never once in my childhood imagination did I think my grandma would come back to life. My grandma's dead. We're going to have a funeral in a few days. That's what's going to happen. It would be really strange if on the third day after my grandmother's death, she walks into the room and says, "You guys ready for some breakfast?" But in fact, that's exactly what happens when Jesus rises from the grave. Jesus goes to Galilee. He had told Mary Magdalene, "Go tell my disciples I'm going to meet them in Galilee." And they're out fishing because that's what they know how to do. Peter and Andrew, James and John, fishermen, said, "You know what? We don't know what else to do. We would do the same thing. We just go back to whatever's familiar, whatever works." They go back fishing. And then they see Jesus on the shore. And the best line in all of Scripture, "Come, have breakfast." That's what Jesus says. "Come, have breakfast." You would never expect one of your beloved to come back from the dead, to appear to you especially. We expect certain things to happen. We expect those, our beloved, to stay dead. And it's strange if they would come back to life. This Paschal candle was blessed last night, the Easter candle. We had blessed the Easter fire. And we baptized 15 people who were brought into the church last night, that they were delivered from the bondage of Satan. They were welcomed into the church, adopted sons and daughters of God. This Easter candle is lit twice for you personally. On the day of your baptism, and it's handed to you or to your godparents. And it said, "Keep this flame burning brightly all the days of your life, so that when you come to meet the Lord Jesus, he may welcome you into his heavenly kingdom." Keep this flame burning brightly, that this Easter candle is the image of Jesus in our life, that we have been adopted into his family. We belong to him no longer, no matter how far we go, how far we stray. That we are always God's son or God's daughter, and he embraces us when we come home to him. And the second time that it's lit for us personally is on the day of our funeral, where we hearken back to the day of our baptism and we say to God, "You made an unfailing commitment to us that on the day of our baptism, you welcomed us into your family. Do not fail us now. Though we've been weak, though we've strayed, though we've been far off, Lord, welcome us into your kingdom." And we hearken to those words of Jesus on Good Friday, that from the cross, he says, "Father," I've taken so much consolation in this. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're freaking clueless. Father, forgive them not, for they know not what they do." Not, "Father, forgive them because they try really, really hard." Not, "Father, they have it all figured out. Forgive them." "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It struck me in a particular way this year that we hear about Jesus, that he was captured, betrayed in a garden. And where he was crucified was right next to a garden. And where he's buried is in that same garden. That Mary Magdalene on the day of Easter morning, comes to Jesus and she thinks he's the gardener. That in the very beginning, the first words of the scriptures, in the beginning, God planted Adam and Eve in a garden where everything was safe, where things were secure, where everything was supposed to be nice, that they were in friendship with God. And everything becomes chaotic after those first moments of creation. That they disobey the Lord, yes. That communion is broken between them. They start blaming each other for what had happened. And then you get the story of humanity after that. War, famine, constant disruption. But it's here at the moment of the resurrection, the most important day for us as Christians, that Jesus restores all of that. Not maybe in an earthly way. There's war breaking out all over the place, and we know that, we feel that. And yet in his kingdom, where he rules, that there is abundant peace, that you and I are meant for communion. What we experience on this earth is so much deprivation, so much isolation, so much being far from each other and far from the Lord, people not knowing us intimately as we truly are. But Jesus restores us even further so that we can be at communion with God the Father. And there's a million reasons why we shouldn't belong to the Lord. There's a million reasons why we don't deserve to be set free, to deserve liberation on this day. The two words, but God. The two very inspiring words for us, but God. Adam and Eve sinned and the devil had tempted them. But God, in the beginning of Genesis, made a plan that the evil one, the serpent, will come after your heel, but her son will strike at your head. But God did that. That there's so many times that there hasn't been leaders, that Israel has been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. But God saw Moses, a servant that he could implore, a servant that he could call out and say, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of this exodus. That God wanted a king after his own heart. That the people said, you know, Lord, we'd really like a king like all the other nations around us. And God said, you don't need a king, you have me. And they're like, we really want a king. And then God said, you don't need a king. And they're like, no, really, 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 we want a king. And then God said, you don't need a king, I'm your king. And they said, we really want a king instead. And they gave us Saul. And Saul's no good. We don't like Saul. We don't like Saul. But God saw David, the lowliest of sons, the unexpected king. And we hear that David was a man after God's own heart. That humanity falls into deprivation, and then God has sent prophets and prophets and prophets imploring them to come back to him. And where will this Savior, where will this Messiah come from? And there's a small virgin woman in a town called Nazareth, podunk town called Nazareth. But God saw her, and he knew that she would say yes, that he had prepared her heart. And throughout all of our lives, there's all these reasons we do not deserve salvation. We actually don't even deserve good things, that we can't earn salvation. If Jesus' word from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, if anything, it shows us not only can we not earn our salvation, we can't earn good things, but that God freely gives it. It's his move first. And faith is just a response to God who already loves us. To God who already chooses us, to God who pursues us in every time and in every place. But God loves us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that we may not perish but may have eternal life. On this Easter Sunday, we get a really curious interjection in today's gospel. You have Peter. Mary Magdalene is the apostle of the apostles, the one who's sent to the apostles. That on Easter morning, she goes to the tomb. Her beloved was crucified the day before. She wants to go and be near him. and she sees the stone rolled back. There was guards set there because they said, what if these Christians, these followers of Christ, what if they move the stone and take him away and they pull off this great ruse, this great heist of the body of Christ to say he did what he told us he was going to do, that he was raised from the dead. So Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and she sees the stone rolled back and she goes and runs and gets Peter and the beloved disciple. And they run and the beloved disciple runs faster. Peter's slow, apparently. But we get this curious line. They both ran. The other disciple ran faster than Peter, very competitive, and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there. I've never robbed a grave. I'm proud of that. I've never robbed a grave. But if I were to rob a grave, I wouldn't carefully, intricately unwrap the body. That would be a really gruesome affair. So when John recounts that he bent down and saw the burial cloths there, it's a really strange thing that normal people wouldn't intricately, they were going to steal this man's body. It wouldn't do that. But Jesus, in the middle of the night, when Mary Magdalene is still asleep, by the power of God, the Spirit of God, is raised from the dead, and by his own power, freely unties the bandages of his own burial. You and I believe in a God who was born in a small town in Bethlehem, that for 30 years he lived a quiet and hidden life, where he could have been going about doing beautiful, good things, teaching and preaching and healing, that those 30 years could have been more efficient, more effective, more people would have seen him. But for 3 years, God chose 12 men to follow after him and so many beautiful women who accompanied him, Mary Magdalene included. And he did it all publicly for all to see. In a matter of hours, a trial was brought and Jesus was condemned unjustly and crucified in the most beautiful way or the most horrific way that Romans could possibly do, a cross. The most embarrassing of all things. But God raised this Jesus from the dead. But God set him free from the bonds of death. And even though you and I will die one day, God has a good and beautiful plan for us, that though we die, God too will raise us from the dead as he raised his son Jesus. He doesn't go to the cross as an unwilling victim. Jesus goes to the cross freely, and God sets him free from the bondage of death as he will for us today. For you and I and all the hopelessness, all the troubling things in life, can we find hope in the consolation that God intervenes, that God's ways are good, that God's plans for our life, no matter where we are today, are in fact good. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. This is our hope for us as Christians. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He is raised indeed.